Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so very much for a wonderful day, a great evening last night. And now we get the privilege of coming here today, dear Heavenly Father, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today who doesn't know you in the pardon of their sins, that their hearts will be touched and their minds will be changed, and they'll cry out and say, "What must I do to be saved?" And you'll save them. Lord, we just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you would, please, turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms. Ah, no wonder I can't see you. Psalm 25. Psalm 25. While you're getting there, I'm going to give you a little bit of a, by way of introduction. We've been dealing with depression, messages on depression, for the last four Sundays. And the Lord placed that on my heart because we need to start the conversation, y'all, because one in six of all Americans is on some kind of psychiatric drug. One in six. That's a lot of people, and they're hurting. You know, they're not faking it. They hurt, and they need something to deal with the hurt. And unfortunately, they don't realize that God says, "I have everything you need. Every answer is in this book." Amen. And it's our job to direct them to this book. Now, I have no problem with medicine. I thank God for medicine. But if you don't need to be on medicine, wouldn't you rather not be on medicine? Okay, then let's start looking at what God has to say about depression. And we're going to pretty much wrap it up tonight, today, because it is a process. Dealing with depression is a process. But the challenge is, when do you start? See, I never even addressed how do people get into depression, because it's different for everybody who's in depression. We just sort of fall into depression. We don't willfully go there. We fall into depression. But when you fall into depression, you're a victim of circumstances. When you stay in depression, you're a slave to sin. It's a world of difference. You couldn't help how you got there, maybe, but you can definitely get out. Because if you can't get out, then I'm going to take this book and burn it. I'm telling you, because people, "Well, no, you don't understand, Pastor. All I know is what the Word of God tells me. And the Word of God tells me there's a way out for everybody." So let's read our text, then we'll move on. Psalm 25, 1 through 15, and it reads in the King James Bible, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me the ways, thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." Verse 7, "Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake. O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek he will guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great." Verse 12, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will shew them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, doers, and hearers of his word. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you may be seated. Today we will use as a title, it starts with surrender. It starts with surrender. Christianity is not deep, y'all. What God says and how God operates, it is not deep. God purposely made the gospel message simple. We rack our brains day and night to try to figure out, well, what about this and what about that? It starts with surrender. Back in the 1800s, America hit a crossroads that many countries hit, but when it hits home, it really hits you a little bit harder. And because of a series of events, we had what is known as Civil War. I believe it was 50,000 plus Americans. And by the way, if you lived in the North, you were an American. If you lived in the South, you were an American. 50,000 plus Americans died in that war. Brothers against brothers, cousins against cousins, neighbors against neighbors. But I'm not going to talk about the war. I'm going to talk about the end of the war. You had two great generals, Robert E. Lee, who headed the Confederate Army, and Ulysses S. Grant, who headed the Northern troops. On April 9th, 1865, that was the day that everything came to a close. Lee was surrounded. His armies were defeated. They were on the run. It was over. It was over. Now, the animosity between the North and the South, let's put it this way, y'all. If you're willing to go and kill your own cousin, if you're willing to go kill your own brother for what you say you believe, and he's willing to fight you for what he says he believes, understand the animosity ran deep. So here these two men, these two generals, commanding generals, they meet at Appomattox Courthouse. How are we going to end this cataclysmic war? How are we going to end this war that ripped our country apart? How are we going to end it? The Bible says that Lee came in looking good, because Robert E. Lee didn't do nothing but look good. He was clean. He was West Point. He was sharp. Riding a white horse, he was sharp. But he had lost the war. And he came in to meet his opposition, Ulysses S. Grant. Dirty boots, dirty clothes, kind of frumpy, but he had won. And Lee came in the Bible, not the Bible, history says that they sat down to try to figure out how are we going to end this war. Now, most people come in, but they bring the negotiators in, they bring in the papers, and they bring in this, and they bring in that. They got all this stuff written out and everything. And the only thing that Grant did was Grant had sent a telegram to Abraham, the president, and he says, how do we end it? How do we get out of it? He said, you handle it. That's kind of unheard. He just said, you handle it. Lee sat down, Grant sat down, and Grant said, do you promise to never pick up arms again against the United States of America? Yes, sir. Then I want you to go tell your men the battle's over. They're allowed to keep their weapons because they got to hunt, they got to provide for their families, but they got to promise never to pick up arms again against the United States of America. They didn't say, but I'm sure Lee was stunned. He's waiting for the rest of it. Because understand, y'all, historically, even today, when somebody beats you in war, heads are going to roll. You hear me? Heads are going to roll. Grant said, take your rifles, leave all your battle gear here, and promise never to pick up weapons against the United States again. Lee said, I surrender, and the war was over. A lot of folks in here have been battling God. Right now, you're so deep in depression, you can't even see your way out. And you can't see your way out because you want to figure your way out. And it ain't for lack of trying. You've been doing it, nigh on some of us, 10, 12 years, and you're still in it. Lee got up, walked out, told his men the battle was over. They went back to their homes. They went back to fighting. And you know what? This country has had some issues, but you know what? I challenge anybody to say that God ain't blessed this country. I challenge anybody. We done come a long way. This country has come a long way, y'all. In fact, it's come such a long way. Folks from all over the world come here to get away from their place. God been good to this country, y'all. The war is over. Move forward. Face the new challenges. In our Christian life, in our Christian walk, and for the unsaved, there's a spiritual war going on, y'all. People's lives are torn up. There is a war going on. But I'm here to tell you today, the solution is the same as it was for Lee and Grant. Somebody got to surrender. Somebody got to say, I give up. Somebody's got to say, uncle. Because if you don't, you're just going to get more of what you've been getting for the last 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And at each point, you're going to think, well, I'm just about there. I'm just about there. I think I got it this time. I think, oh. And you go right back down. But you know what? God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you. And it starts with surrender. Because when you surrender to God, He fights your battles. He fights your battles. And I don't know, but I just got to share this with you. I went to check his record to see which one, or if any, he's ever lost. Now, y'all got to help the brother here because I've been looking. And I ain't seen where he's lost one. I ain't seen where he's lost one, y'all. And he says to you and he says to me, is there anything too hard for God? What you got? What you got that you can't handle? Marriage? Oh, come on, man. That's a dime a dozen. You broke? I'll give you money out of a fish. Come on, man. You got enemies? I'll fight your battles. You lonely? You lonely? Call me. Call me. I won't even put you on call waiting. Come on. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you. And you know what else he'll do for you? Not only will he talk to you, but he'll call you by name. Whoa, that's big. He'll call you by name. Hear the psalmist. We're going to be talking about, it starts with surrender. First, we're going to be talking about sweet surrender. Then we're going to talk about making our requests. Then listen for God's response. And then rest in his reward. Sweet surrender. Make our request, listen for God's response, rest in God's reward. This psalmist This psalmist gives us a template, if you will, of how to deal with depression and hard times in life. Because this man, he'd been crying out to the Lord, telling, Lord, this is hard. My enemies are coming at me from every side, every direction. And for those of us who are dealing with depression, is real. It is real. It destroys people, y'all. It keeps them in bondage. The Bible tells you that Satan, you know one thing about Satan, what the Bible says? The Bible says he never lets his captives free. If Jesus don't come get you, you ain't getting out. So he never lets you free. And so at some point, you got to say, Lord, get him. Verses 1 and 2, talk about sweet surrender. Verses 1 and 2, Psalm 25, verses 1 and 2. And it reads, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Whenever you see all caps where it says, O Lord, it says all caps, he's talking about Jehovah, Yahweh, the Father. And he says, O Lord. Now, look at how personal that is. The psalmist, David, he calls on the Lord. He says, O Lord, but I can do you one better than that. Calling him Lord is great, it's wonderful, and it's proper. But when Jesus was asked by his disciples, how do we address him? Those of us who have the Spirit of God in us, those of us who have the Holy Ghost, how do we address him? Do we address him, O Lord? You can. But guess what? You can also say, Abba, Father, Daddy. That's close relationship, y'all. So every place that you see here, where in this text, because this text, when you're dealing with this psalm, it's to the Jews. It is to the Jews, but it's for everybody else. Many times we go to scriptures and we try to claim something that's there, and it's not. This is to the Jews specifically, but the general principles apply to all believers. So when he says, oh, Lord, I want y'all to put in there, our Father. Say it with me, our Father. I like it. Say it again. Our Father. Amen. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. See, because some of us, I was blessed to have a father in the home. He was a wonderful man. I loved him, okay? Some folks didn't get that. But guess what Jesus says? You didn't have a father here, but you've always had a father here. And you will continue to have an Abba Father no matter what. No matter where you go, no matter how low you get, no matter how far you get away from him, you can call him up and say, Abba, Father, I got an issue. And he'll answer you. He says, oh, Lord, I lift up my soul. What made me think about sweet surrender was when he says, I lift up my soul. Y'all know what the universal sign of surrender is, no matter where you're at on the globe? Guy doesn't speak any English, doesn't speak Spanish, doesn't speak German, Chinese, but when he does this, everybody knows, I surrender. Most soldiers, when they surrender, they hold their weapon up, they hold their sword up, they hold up a white flag, they'll do something, say, here, take it. David is saying, Lord, here's my soul. I give it to you. Look, I give it to you because I can't take it no more. I can't take it no more. And so therefore, I'm giving it to the one who is able. He goes, oh, Lord, do I lift my soul, my being, my everything, all that I am. And stop, please stop, stop holding back on God. We have these little compartments in our house, in our heart, where we say, okay, Lord, this is my messed up marriage. Here, fix that one. Lord, here's my messed up job. Fix that one. Oh, here's my messed up life. Leave that one alone. That's mine. I want to keep doing that one because I like it. I like it. I like being called a Christian. I like having the name. I like knowing that God is my Father, and he still is your Father, even when you got junk in you. I can testify to that. He still is our Father, even when you got junk in you. But David says, I want to even pour out even the junk, Lord. I want you to take everything that I have. And I'm lifting up my soul, God. Lord, my life is a shambles. This depression has got me beat down further than I can't go any lower. I'm giving you everything. Will you please take it? And David says, Lord, in verse 2, I'm putting my trust in you. I don't have anything to bring to the table, y'all. I don't have anything to bring to the table. I got a brother here, and he's going into the doctor's tomorrow. We prayed for him already, but I'm going to use him for an illustration. When he goes into the doctor and they put him on the gurney, I guarantee you he ain't going to say, here's a scalpel. Here's a thermometer. He don't bring nothing. All he do is show up, and then they take your clothes off. You come in with nothing because you can't add nothing. So when you come to the Lord, don't come talking about, Lord, I'm going to do this. Shut up. Just say, Lord, take me. Take me. I tried it. It's killing me. Take me. Show up with just giving God your soul. Say, Lord, I'm going to lift up my soul. Take it. Take control of it, Lord. Do what you do with my life, Lord, because you know the end from the beginning. So will you please? I got things I desire. I got things. I've been working on this, and I've been working on that, and you've been blessing me. But I still got some stuff that I really, 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 really need that only you can handle, Lord. And when you do that, verses 1 and 2, he says, let me not be ashamed. He said, God, you got to understand. I've been fronting and I've been perpetrating like I'm in charge for a long time. I've been acting like I'm strong and all this other stuff. Don't nobody know behind those closed doors. I'm back there just like a little baby. So here's the deal. Here, God. David said, Lord, don't let me be put to shame in front of these folks because they think I got it all together. Lord, would you understand, God, I name your name. So I told everybody, you're going to get me out of this. I told them that the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah, Abba Father, I told my friends, God, I told everybody, you're going to fix it. I'm going to give everything I got to you, and you're going to, so therefore, would you please handle it, Lord? Would you please handle it? Y'all remember I told you before, I think it's the book of Numbers, where God had told Moses, he said, Moses, children of Israel were rebellious, stiff-necked, bad to the bone, wouldn't listen to anything God. God said, I'll kill them all. He said, I'll kill every last one of them, give you a brand new batch. And Moses said, God, you can't do that. He said, because I told everybody, you God Almighty. And if you don't preserve us, people are going to think you weren't able. Hey, you can do that. You can tell everybody, tell the world. I've been in depression for 8, 9, 10, 15 years. But you know what? Today, I'm giving it to the Lord. And I'm telling y'all, he'll bring me out of it. And he's going to bring me out of it for his sake, for his glory. And I'm going to praise him. I'm going to praise him before he do it. I'm going to praise him right now. While I'm toe up from the flow up, I'm going to praise him. Because I've given him everything, y'all. And that's, so when we surrender to God, we give him that sweet surrender. And then verses 3 through 7, we make our requests. We say, Lord, here's the things, you know, I'm giving it to you. Here you go. Some people pronounce this show, like S-H-O-W. Some people pronounce it shoe. That really doesn't matter. I don't think it matters that much. But understand, they are two different words. They are two different words. And so, and Lord gave me this week. People are saying, well, I don't like using that old English. You know, it's not in use and anything. But what I want to say to you, why don't you just increase your vocabulary? Isn't it good to just, if you haven't heard that word before, there's plenty of words when you go, I got a friend working at T.I. now, brother, son. And you hear terminology that you never, ever heard before in your life, but you learn it because you learn how to increase your vocabulary. If you come to this book, you learn how to increase your vocabulary. What's the difference between show and shoe? What's the difference? Show, anybody in here will say, when somebody says, show me something, he says, take a look at it. Show me, S-H-O-W, show me. Okay, but that's not what he's saying here. S-H-E-W means not only show me, but give me understanding of what I'm looking at. Show me, Lord. Here, turn your Bibles to Matthew 13, 16. Matthew 13, 16. Matthew 13, 16. And you've read these things before, but sometimes we just kind of gloss over it. Matthew 13, 16. And it reads, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Wait a minute. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. I thought every time I open my eyes, I see. No, you don't. That's why the Bible says, let those who have eyes see. But every time I look, I can't help but you ain't seeing and understanding. You are, that somebody is showing you, S-H-O-W. Somebody's not S-H-E-W, shooing you. Understand this stuff, y'all. This is good. This is good stuff. He says, shoot. He said, Lord, not only show me your path, but shew me your path. Let me see it and let me comprehend it. Let me see it and let me comprehend it. He says, shew me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I come to God based on one thing. You bought me. You knowed I wasn't no good when you bought me. But you told me all I got to do is confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. You told me if I'll do that, you'll take me. What's that song we sing? Just as I am. Without one plea. That's what it means, y'all. God, you picked me off the bottom shelf, and you knew there was a reason I was on the bottom shelf. In fact, some of us came out the back room where they keep damaged goods. Amen. And he said, I still take you. He says, show me thy ways. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy path, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. You're my Savior.